Okay, this is our session number two. However, it is our third call in the series because we had our surprise jumpstart call. And then we had our session number one, and this is our session number two of the Claim It, Declare It course. And today's date is April 30th, 2018. So, Miss Barb, have you done your soul alignment?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Awesome. So what I'll do now is we had neglected to add the calculator to the list of things to have as a preparation list. So if you don't have a calculator, Barb, please go ahead and get one.
Oh, I've got it.
And awesome. Okay. So let's begin with the purpose of this training. And the purpose is to become more skilled in delivering your sales conversations and being successful in obtaining sales, being more so. Number two is have a greater understanding of the numbers you need to reach to accomplish your monthly financial goals. Number three is have a greater understanding of the bottom line measurable results that your services bring to your ideal clients. Number four, have additional intuition skills with which to make soul-aligned decisions, identify priority actions, identify priority timing by when to take your actions, identify best business strategies to meet your goals and with which to design products and services to best fulfill your clients' needs. All that's going to be covered with the pendulum work that we're going to do today. Number five is have a better understanding of how to use your time for best business development. That's going to be a combination of, you know, what you're learning about with the numbers to run your business as well as you're using your pendulum. And number six is increase your confidence in pursuing leads to invite them into having a client enrollment conversation with you. So, deep breath. Yeah. That's a lot, but we're doing it, huh? Right?
Mm-hmm. We're doing
it. Okay, we are doing it. Okay. So what I'm going to do is just to get us all warmed up here, I'd like you to write down, there isn't paper in this handout, so just use your other note paper. I want to zip through these questions for us to tighten our focus on what we do, who we are, and why we're important. So the first question is for you to write down, what is the main outcome, transformation, or result that your clients get from you? So just write that down. When you're ready, say ready.
Are we answering it or just writing down the question?
You're writing it down and then say ready, so then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Ready.
Thank you.
Ready.
Okay, next question. We'll do these all together once you have your answers. The next question is, what is the main problem that you solve? And say ready when you're ready.
Okay. Ready.
Thank you. Barb?
Okay, I'm ready.
Thank you. Now, here's a good one, ladies. We've talked about this in the past. We're going to bring it back here. How are you different from others who offer similar services? So I want you to really think about that. And then write down your answer.
Okay.
Ready.
Great. Okay, good. So, first question is, do you feel any differently about answering these questions since we'd had our jumpstart call and our session number one? It's a simple yes or no answer. Who wants to go? Good. How about you, Barb?
Yes.
Okay, what just happened with you, Barb, over there? Did you, was I not clear? Do you want me to rephrase it?
Do I feel differently since session number one and the jumpstart call?
In answering these questions.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. How do you feel differently, Mary?
I feel that I have a greater confidence and clarity about the language that I'm using, and also honing in on the nuances of who will be ready to work with me as opposed to kicking the tires and not really wanting to go farther with their story.
Okay. Good. And what about you, Barb? How do you feel differently?
I, too, feel a greater clarity in expressing succinctly what I do, the result I provide, and how I am different. So I guess that's all three.
Did you say you feel more confident?
Yes.
Great, yeah. Great. So now let's go over the answers to the question. Who wants to go first on the main outcome transformation or result that your clients get from you?
Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
The main result or outcome that they receive is a confidence and a peace of mind, a sense of security in their safety in terms of the information, the content that they use and that they produce, that they share. It feels safer in that process. They have a better understanding of how they can use copyright law as a tool to achieve their goal.
Okay, so say it again, and this time see if you can concentrate your energy a bit as if you were actually talking to somebody, Barb. So the question is, it's a great answer. I mean, I'm thrilled to hear it, believe me. Let's just have it come across now with some power. So what is the main outcome, the transformation or the result that your clients get from you, Barb, dear?
A clearer sense and confidence of how they can use copyright law as a tool to achieve their goals.
Okay. I would suggest that you consider adding their visibility goals. What do you think, Barb? Does that feel good?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because it takes it out of, huh?
Yes. That's a good refinement.
Okay, great. Okay, now let's move on to what is the problem that you solve. Now let's practice the same thing. Read through what you wrote and then concentrate your energy as if you had your energy in between your two hands. Your hands are facing palm to palm, and you're now going to start bringing your hands closer together, closer palm to palm, and you can feel that your energy is becoming more consolidated. You know what I mean?
Okay, yes.
Great. And then go ahead and answer the question. What is the main problem that you solve?
Their sense of uncertainty and security, insecurity, and fear about how they
the consequences of violating copyright law.
Thank you.
So go ahead and write that down. And then we'll go over it again. Are you gaining from this, Mary dear?
Yes, yes. I'm taking notes.
Good.
The main problem I solve for entrepreneurs and business people is their insecurity and fear about the consequences of violating copyright law.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of like an impending doom feeling. Now, that's a very strong term, but I felt it at times. I mean, at some point I'm going to have to go over all my graphics of all my membership training handouts from 2013, and I just haven't done it yet, but I will. And it is like a looming cloud, Barb.
Yep.
So you might use that. You know, the main problem that I solve is that feeling of a looming cloud of doom, of fear, of insecurity, of violating copyright law when people put their websites and their blogs and their articles out there.
Yes.
That is a problem that you solve, right? So you can take that sentence that I just said, you know, in the recording, it'll be within the first 15 minutes, and jot it down if you didn't already, you know?
Good. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, what's the last one? How are you different from others who offer similar services? Now, before you speak, read over what you wrote and then speak it with power.
I provide a hands-on experience that they can implement immediately. I bring some fun and creativity to teaching about copyright. Okay, let me start again. I bring some fun and creativity to learning about how to use copyright law as a tool.
Okay, so how are you different than others?
Well, copyright is not generally a fun topic. So I bring fun and creativity and a little craziness to that.
Yeah, I love it. Go ahead, finish it. I shouldn't have cut you off there. Say it again.
I bring some fun and creativity and a little craziness to copyright compliance education.
Great. The other thing that I think you bring is what do you think you bring that is a result of you having been an employee in the library system? Do you think that there's any part of that history that you have that you could distill out a difference that you bring?
Thank you. I have experienced the evolution of information moving from the print to the online environment and how that movement has affected the sharing of information, how the internet, the presence of the internet has affected how we share information.
How does that make you different? We're still working on how does it make you different?
Well, let's see. I've lived through and witnessed that transition.
Maybe not. You know, maybe there isn't one. But in terms of what it would be like for people to have a lot of others that can go ahead and bring their unique past to be of value.
Well, I do like to say, in the right company, that people who were born with a mouse in their hand have never known any situation other than the internet. So they think that everything is out there floating, just waiting for them to grab it. So they don't understand that copyright applies to the online environment also.
So what would then make that?
Because I was not born with a mouse in my hand, was pre-digital, was involved in the print world, I see the importance of communicating that.
Communicating what?
That copyright does apply to the internet age, to the digital age, to content
online. Okay, so the what separates you from others is for those people who just kind of recently was introduced to the internet age, they realize that copyright has to be even more carefully watched with these digital online pieces. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so what did you get out of discussing what makes you different from the others, Barbara, just now? What did you get from that exercise?
Well, that I am different and bring a unique approach to copyright education, copyright compliance education.
Okay, good. And what is knowing, and does knowing that have any impact on you at all? And if so, what is that impact?
It's important that I make that difference clear in how I describe what I do and
mm-hmm.
in the tone of voice that I use, in my approach, that I make it sound fun, you know, light and airy and fun and relevant as I talk about what I do.
Right, and you could even maximize on that that when you're at a networking event or just talking to somebody and you say, you know, the difference between me and other people who do copyright stuff is because I make it fun. Otherwise, it's this gray murkiness or whatever you used a long time ago, a gray something or other, soup, a gray soup, I think you said.
Yeah,
and, you know,
gray murky ooze.
Yeah. And, you know, that could be part of your signature branding, is that you're making it fun, and yet anybody who talks to you knows that you're highly intelligent, that you're very present, and that you know your stuff, right?
Right. Right.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks for going first. Okay, Mary, you're welcome. Okay. Outcome, transformation, and result that your clients get from you.
Okay. The main outcome my clients get from me as entrepreneurs and solo business, small business owners, they gain clarity and confidence in delivering their message so that they have greater valence when their ideal clients recognize they are the solution they are seeking and hire them.
Okay, so what is the transformation, the result that you're, it sounds good. That's a good overall, you know, first sentence after the hook. So good for you. What is the main result that your clients get from you?
They have confidence and clarity in the message that they are here to deliver.
The main outcome that your clients get is that they can now make more money because they have the clarity and the confidence about what they're here to sell or something like that. You want to get it out of your mouth fast, that the result that they, your clients get is that they make more money, right? We talked about that, right?
Right. So financial success doesn't translate into they make more money.
Well, it's too far down into the message, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather that you change the order. And yes, financial success is definitely acceptable. If depending upon what kind of mood you're in at the time, you might use the term make more money versus financial success. Make more money has a different, you know, quality
right.
to it. It lands differently than financial
mm-hmm.
success. So let's try it again, because I want you to, you know, stand up there and say, this is what I do.
Entrepreneurs have greater visibility and make more money because they have, after they're working with me, because they have clarity and confidence in the message that they are here to deliver so that their ideal clients and customers recognize that they are the solution and hire them.
Okay, so the outcome, the transformation that you bring is that they make more money, they have more confidence, they have more clarity about what they are selling. That's it. That's the bottom line. The rest of it is your marketing message or your, you know, your introduction when you stand up and you talk about yourself. But the main problem that you solve is, or excuse me, the main transformation that you bring is they make more money. They are more confident. They have more clarity about what they sell. And you, if you want to add it, and the message that they use to sell.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
It is, because it is all about how they, what they sell. Yeah.
Yes. So let's hear it again. Take a moment, tweak it up, and somebody says to you at the coffee urn, so what's the main result that clients get from you, Mary?
Entrepreneurs make more money, they have more confidence, and they're clear about what they sell.
Mm-hmm. Let's try it again.
Entrepreneurs make more money, they have more confidence, and they are clear about what they sell.
How does that feel, Barb, when you hear that?
I wanted to stick in the word because. They make more money because
Well, that comes later. That comes later. She has that whole marketing message. Then they say to you, "Oh, really? How do you do that?" And then she can go into that. You see what I mean?
Well,
this is the transformation.
Yes.
Yeah. So they make more money. Okay.
The transformation is that they go from not making as much money as they want to, they make more money. They go from not feeling all that confident because things are pretty murky, they get more confidence. They are not that clear. They're rummaging around as to what it is they really sell and why they have a particular ability to offer what they sell. So what Mary's result is that they get clearer about what they sell. That is her result. You see, Barb?
Yeah. Okay.
Your result, Barb, is that they don't get lawsuits.
Right.
Your result is that they don't have to cough up thousands of dollars in violation fees. So the result of that is they feel more secure, more confident, more freed up to put stuff on the internet to be visible. You see the difference, ladies?
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you feel about that, Mary?
That is it in a nutshell. That
right.
Clear, and it's to the point.
Yeah. So, you know, what you're going to do is you say to people, I help people make more money, become more confident and clearer about what they are selling and their message. Period. How you do it is, you know, months or sessions worth of excavating. But the bottom line is they are making more money because they are clearer, because they are more confident about what they're selling and how they talk about what they're selling or their message, right?
Right.
Okay, good. All right, so next question, what is the main problem that you solve? And do not give me a beautifully written sentence. I want to know what is the main problem that you solve?
Connecting their life experiences with what they're doing, what they're selling, and the clients that need them.
So what is the problem that you solve? That's the result that they get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the frustration of knowing what to say to have make the sales.
Okay, great. What is the problem that you solve? One more time.
So the problem I solve is finding the language to make the sale.
Okay. How about that the problem that you solve is their lack of confidence and the lack of confidence and confusion about what to say regarding what they sell? The problem that you solve is your client's confusion, their insecurity, of talking about what they sell. And therefore, the problem is they are not making enough sales.
Okay. So the problem I solve is...
Yeah. Go ahead.
The problem I solve is the lack of confidence and the confusion about what to say regarding what they sell.
Yes. And then you could even shorten it and or reverse the order and say the problem that I solve is not having enough sales because they have this insecurity, this lack of confidence, this confusion about how to talk about what they sell. You could add frustration in there, you know, insecurity, lack of confidence, frustration, because they don't know how to talk about what they sell. Does that sound right on for you, Mary?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when you think about the last few clients that you've recently had over the last few months, was what we just nailed down a problem that they were struggling with?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, and how are you different from others who offer similar services?
I use my skills as a journalist and blend my life experiences to inspire my clients to recognize their story matters because it is the story that they alone can tell.
So how are you different from others?
I'm a mirror and reflect. Okay, how am I different?
You're different because you have these years of being a journalist.
Right.
And so what has your history of being a journalist done for you that makes you different and that is relevant to helping people make more money, getting clearer and more secure and about what it is, how to talk about what it is they sell? What's the bridge between your experience as a journalist to you helping people make more money, being more confident and clearer about how to talk about what they sell?
Because I'm comfortable asking the questions that helps them go deeper to recognize.
To uncover.
Okay. Uncover. Uncover the connection between their life experiences, what they are doing now, and who they are here to serve.
Okay, that's good. Tighten that up, take a deep breath, and let me please hear that again.
Okay. Uncover the connection between their life experiences, what they sell, and who needs their services.
Okay. Let's do it again. Tighten it up. How are you different?
Well, combining the layers of my expertise as a journalist, my life experiences.
Well, what about your life experiences?
Well,
Let me just step back and explain to you guys. What I'm doing is I am taking a paring knife and I am whittling away the extraneous words so that what's left is something that you can almost hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
More money, more confidence, clarity about how to talk about what it is I sell is clear, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
With you, Barb, the confidence and the peace of mind to freely publish without the fear of a looming possible lawsuit. That's concrete, isn't it, to publish without fear, right?
Yes.
So then there's the added piece of, well, why am I any different than anybody else? With you, Barb, it's because you bring a humor with your intelligence and expertise. With you, Mary, you have the ability to ask questions and then to synthesize and put into words the information that has been extracted, right?
Yes.
So now you want to see about your life experiences. That's true, because the difference is your life experiences. Well, what about your life experiences? The part about your life experiences is that what's different about you is you faced your own nightmare of lacking self-worth. And you healed that to now help others know the importance of their unique life path and how that can be used to fuel their sales. So you could get up in front of a room, you know, the reason and how I'm different from other people who do this kind of work is because I faced my own nightmare of low self-esteem. And I have X number of years as a journalist knowing how to ask questions, how to synthesize answers. And I bring all of that to help you uncover the gems of your life path and how you can use that to fuel your sales. That kind of thing. Do you think that fits for you? Do you think that fits
Absolutely.
For what you... Okay.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, what do you think about all that?
Yep.
Okay, good. Shall we move on? Do you feel like you both feel a little more gelled in this area of being able to blurt out, okay, so, microphone to you, what is the result that you get from your clients? Bam. Great, thank you. So what is the main problem that you solve? Wonderful. And why should I buy from you rather than the guy next door who does copyright or does messaging? See?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so no open bleeding wounds, right?
No.
Okay. How about you, Barb? You doing okay over there?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, now let's talk about what experience you had using your hook statements and having met as buddies. How did all that go? And did you use your hook statements with anybody? And just tell us about it, whoever wants to go first.
We did meet.
Yes.
Go ahead, Barb.
Nope. We met and talked about the experiences that we had had, the outcomes. Mary's had a lot of wonderful successes. I've had several opportunities to engage and use my hook. They were audiences that were already a bit tuned in, so they maybe got the fancier hook.
Okay. How did you feel delivering the hook?
Good. To the point and sort of well rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. Definitely well rehearsed, yeah. And so what did you notice was the response that you got when you stated your hook, would you say?
Generally, people were interested or curious. You know, what did that mean? How did that relate to them?
Good. Now, do you think that you might notice a difference, and maybe you haven't, so just be honest as always. Do you think that you might have noticed a difference with how people responded to you using your hook versus in the past when you didn't have your hook yet?
Knowing the hook was right there. Has made it easier to, has definitely made it easier to explain what I do.
Great. And so given that it is, you found it easier, is there anything in retrospect that you can report back to us was a different kind of response that you got from people when you talked about what you do?
Well, curiosity, maybe raised eyebrows.
And what about before? What was their response before?
Sort of a, oh, that's nice. And now,
okay.
Now it's a, I hadn't thought about that.
Good. And did you notice anybody kind of leaning into you more, kind of wanting to know more where they were thinking of their own needs? Did you get any different responses like that?
Yes, definitely. Definitely leaning in more, yeah.
Great, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good. How about you, Mary? Tell us about your experiences delivering the hook, what you might have noticed in retrospect of how people responded to you before you knowing how to use your hook versus now that you are using your hook.
So before, I think that I was kind of all over the map, and so people didn't hone in on, well, why would I lean into knowing my message? And now it's honed in on and focused so that I have more people saying, well, you got me thinking and really looking at how am I using writing in my business and how I could use some support because I know that there's something that I want to do and I need some structure around it.
Okay, good. What my guidance just told me to say to you right now is for you to use early in a conversation with someone, like almost like, hi, my name is Samantha, what's yours? Hi, my name is Mary. Oh, what do you do, Mary? Basically, Samantha, your message is more money to you. Give your message, expect more money. You know, it's like you want to connect message equals money.
Mm.
When you say story, it's still, I still have the same uh-huh. reaction to that. It's just like, what is story? You mm-hmm. know, if we were in the middle of Iowa, would we say story? No, we're in the middle of California. So we've used that kind of languaging, you know, or places that, you know, have more sophisticated entrepreneurial programs that are more in volume. I'm sure there are in Iowa too, but here it's like every other corner. So you want to keep getting out of the poetry of it and just simply say, if you're a business owner, you have got to get your message clear and out there to make more money. If you are a business owner, you have got to get your message out there that is clear to make more money.
Yes.
Do you feel that that's true about you and what you do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that really, I cannot say it any other way. For you to just keep drumming into yourself, message equals money, message equals money, message equals money. It is not their story. It is not their story. What is their story then translates into a message, and that's where the money is. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right, now let's go around the room about how you guys did with asking people to help you really focus on, in the handout from session number one, the Suzanne Evans excerpts, page six, or no, it was actually the workbook, the session number one workbook, if you could just pull that out and look at page six, which was James Roche came up with this fabulous tight script on how to ask people to have an enrollment conversation with you.
Yes.
Did either of... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm getting better at it. It still feels awkward to me. I'm getting better at saying, may I share some options with you, or how we could work together to deal with this. But I have to keep practicing that.
So tell me how far you get where you're on a roll, and then tell me at what point you start to slow down.
I'm getting better at not offering too much advice.
Great.
I'm still practicing the, so what is an issue that's blocking you? I'm still rehearsing my script of, okay, so that's the main issue that's blocking you.
Did you try, excuse me for interrupting, did you try actually saying the words that James had put together here? That I included in your handout?
Yes. I'm still digesting that, so I haven't actually used those words. I'm trying to make them my words.
Well, when you make it your words, though, they don't get said.
I know.
Okay, so let's
words, no.
Listen. I appreciate it. I know that this is a thing for you. I understand that. So basically what this is saying is, wow, so you are having that problem. And then your mind, you're thinking of all the ways that you can solve that for them, things that they need to look at. Do you ever get that far in a conversation? Do you ever get that far where they're telling, pardon?
Yes, yes. And what I have to do is not go too far.
Well, I'm talking about just thinking, so stay with me, okay? Here you are talking to somebody, and they've identified something that they're struggling with, and you, because of what you do and your expertise, in your mind, you don't say anything yet, but in your mind, you start thinking of ways to help them identify areas that they haven't looked at yet, but they should.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, in your mind only, are imagining ways that you could set up a series of sessions with them to review what they've got and to make sure that it's compliant and that you would help them to get out of this confusion with what it is you do. Did that make sense, what I just said?
Yes.
So I'll repeat the scenario. Here you are talking to somebody. They tell you of the problem that they're having, and automatically you start thinking of how you could help them. Have you gotten that far when you talk to somebody?
Yes.
Okay. That's step number one. That's experience number one. They're talking. You see that you can help them, and your own creativity kicks in silently, giving you ideas of how you could help them. Okay? Do both of you have that in your mind right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Then the next experience is your mouth opens and says, really? You know, I can help you. And then your mouth closes. Can you imagine that?
Closing the mouth is tougher.
Those silences, I
find silence is painful.
Yes, understood. When you say I can help you, you do have another sentence coming. But right then, to keep it focused and clean, you say, really, you know, I believe I can help you, or I know I can help you, period, take a breath. So can you imagine doing that much?
Yes.
Okay.
I need to visualize myself doing it, but yes.
Yes, you do. We all do. That's why competitive athletes visualize every slight this and that of their sport so that when they actually are doing it, they are very smooth and savvy. So, yes, visualization is a very powerful tool. Okay, now, you got as far as sensing and seeing, really, I know I can help you, period. Take a deep breath. Now, this is the part where you're getting lost. All that you're saying to them is, let's get on the phone and identify the one key issue or the one area or the one problem that you're having. What are the problems that they're having, Barb? From the people that you tend to work with, what is the key issue? What is the one area? What is the one problem?
Wondering if they can do a certain thing without getting into trouble.
Okay, and then what happens if they wonder and don't do anything about it?
Well, they risk either being stuck or getting into trouble.
And what does being stuck look like?
They don't move forward with their project.
Yes. So the one issue, let's get on the phone and identify the one key issue that is stopping you from moving forward on your project. Okay, so I'll say it again. So let's get on the phone and identify the one key issue that is stopping you from moving forward on your project. I'll say it again. Let's get on the phone and identify one key issue, the one key issue, the one main problem, the one main area that is stopping you from getting, that is stopping you from moving forward on your project. Can you imagine yourself saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
And oftentimes, if I'm in a face-to-face situation and there's time, I'm likely to go ahead right there. And not.
What do you mean go ahead? What do you mean go ahead right there?
Not postpone it to a future conversation.
Yeah, you got to stop doing that. The only reason you do that is because you don't. You're this whole thing of selling still is a problem for you. So let's go back. So let's hear you say these words. Really, I know that I can help you. Period. Take a deep breath. New sentence. Let's get on the phone and identify the one main area that is keeping you from moving forward on your project. So write that down and then say it to us.
Really? I know that I can help you. Let's get on the phone and identify the one key issue that's stopping you from moving forward on your project.
Period. Deep breath. Next sentence. Let me design it for you. Next sentence could be, I'll give you resources that will help you get in action and we'll see how I might be able to support you in moving forward once and for all. I'll give you, I don't remember what I said, but it was I'll give you some resources and we'll look at how I might be able to support you to get you in action once and for all. Isn't that basically what I just said before? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is, I'll give you resources. It could or could not include me. That's what I'll give you resources means. I'll give you resources, and we'll see how I might be able to support you in moving in getting into action once and for all.
Gotcha.
The only reason that you go into solving the problem for them right there is because you just do not believe that you can present yourself in a way that somebody would actually want to buy from you. I need to work with you on this. Wouldn't you agree that that's at least one of the gremlins that's, you know, pulling the cork for you?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so we need to do some healing work on that in a private session. So let's go back. Did you write down that next sentence?
Yep.
Okay. Does it feel like you could say that? We're going to do a role play right now, but I'm asking you generically, does it feel like you can say that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'd like you to think about the most recent time with the most recent person that you had a conversation with where you really thought that you could help them. Can you get that experience back in your memory?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'd like you to imagine that we're way in the background washing behind some curtain somewhere in a room, and it's just you and that person.
Okay.
I want you to see their face. Okay?
Yep.
I would like you to feel the emotions that you have. You feel nervousness. You feel excitement because, you know, you do have something to offer this person. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, sometimes I'm not quite sure what that's going to be.
It doesn't matter. If you think, if that's a fair thing to say. However, if you know generally that you have the range of information so that while they're talking to you in a client enrollment conversation and or right there at the coffee urn, as long as you know you've got the toolkit, it doesn't matter if you come up with a already worked out plan in your mind at that moment. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
Because things will be, you know this intellectually, things will be revealed over time through questioning and getting started on the project, right?
Right.
So if one of the things that's been holding you back is because you are concerned that they're going to pay for something that you can't deliver simply because in that moment you don't quite know all the ways that you're going to help them, is that what happens to you?
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about that. The only thing that is going to be needed for you to be in integrity and for them to get what they paid for, which you're concerned about. You want to make sure they get what they paid for. That's what's coming across loud and clear in between your words, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is that you have the knowledge base to work and uncover and design what they would need.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel true?
Yes.
And if it doesn't, then you're right. You shouldn't say anything to them. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is that sometimes, I mean, again, these are things both of you know. Sometimes you might not know the answer because you've had projects where you had to research. However, the point is you knew where to research, and that's part of your fee, is that you have the expertise to know where to get the information that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's part of why people pay you. It's just like with me in helping with animals. I don't know in that moment who the new adopter is going to be or how I'm going to break down all the steps of where am I going to get the money to get this dog to see a veterinarian, and because I'm not going to cough up $300 of my own money, you know. So I don't know these things yet. You with me with this scenario? But I do know that I have a network and I do have the expertise to know what's involved to be in integrity to rehome an animal. And that's why people trust me, and that's why people come to me when they hit a wall, is because they know that about me. So the same is true with all of you, you know, anybody. Your expertise includes knowing what to do when you don't know the answer. Can you accept that, Barb?
Yes.
Okay. So are you ready to give us the whole conversation here?
Yes.
Okay, so let's back up. Give us the scenario. Where are you, and what got the two of you together where you're even talking at all?
The person saw me at an event and reaches out to me wondering if she can do such and such, or what permissions or resources she might need to do such and such.
Okay, good. Good, that's enough. So let's get started. So what is she struggling with? What is she saying to you is how she feels?
I want to protect my organization, and I'm not quite sure what permissions I might need to do that.
Great. Great. Okay. Now, go.
So you're concerned about protecting your organization from legal hassles, right?
Yeah, it's really like I'm scared.
Well, I can understand that, and you're wise to be concerned. I know that I can help you with these concerns. Let's get on the phone to identify the one key problem that's stopping you from moving forward with your project. I'll give you some resources that will help you get into action, and we'll see how I can help you to move forward once and for all.
Great. How can we do that? Should I call you, or?
Well, let's set up a time right now. When is good for you?
Okay, great. So did you die and go to heaven?
I might have died and gone to hell, but.
Okay, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Yeah?
Because I know what her key issue is.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to have another conversation to identify that.
Okay. What you could say there is, but there's possibly more. It's not that she doesn't know the compliance laws. There are other things that are connected in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why didn't she get help before? Like, why didn't she talk to her cousin who's an attorney? Like, why didn't... So you see, there's more to it than just her not knowing compliance laws. You see what I mean?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When a person knows what to do and they don't do it, there's a problem. And our job as consultants and coaches is to help them break up the resistance to taking those steps, whatever it might be. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to, you could say, let's get on the phone and we'll discuss further about the one main problem that is stopping you from moving forward. You could say that. But you could also still say, we'll identify the one key issue because there may be something other than her not knowing compliance laws.
Yeah.
For all you know, she could have a partner who doesn't want to spend the money on a consultant and told her to go to the law library and look it up. And she doesn't know where to begin and she doesn't want to do it. You know, that could be going on. You see what I mean? You just don't know.
Yep.
So does that help?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it again. This time, you know, look over your notes so that they go smoothly, and let's hear what you've got.
So your major concern is that you want to protect your association from legal hassles and expenses.
Yeah, I'm really scared. I mean, it could be pretty expensive if I blow it.
Well, you're wise to consider that because that can happen. I know that I can help you with this. Let's get on the phone to discuss this further.
No. Let's get on the phone and identify the one key problem.
Okay.
The one key issue, the one area. Why? Because to just discuss it is weak.
Yep.
You want to be the expert that zeroes in on where the log jam is.
Okay.
So just use the words that are right there.
Okay. All right. Let's get on the phone to identify the one key issue that's stopping you from moving forward. I'll give you some resources that will help you move forward, and we'll see how I can help you to keep going in action through to the
one
end
more
of
time.
Your project.
Okay. Let's just have you use the words that we used before, because when you start doing it on your own, it gets too wordy. There's nothing wrong with using a script. Do you think there is something wrong with using a script?
No, I guess I was just sort of personalizing or something.
So when you personalized it, how did you feel?
Safer.
Did you?
Yeah, more calm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have you take it in your own words then. After we'll identify the one key problem that is stopping you from moving forward. Now let's hear your next sentence.
In that call, I'll give you some resources that will help you.
You don't need to say that will help you. It's understood. In that call, I'll give you some resources. And go ahead from there.
So you can get in action.
No, I would still say, in that call, I'll give you some resources, and we'll see how I can support you to get into action once and for all.
Okay. All right. So I did have to scratch out some stuff here.
Okay.
I'll give you some resources. And we'll see how I can support you to get in action once and for all.
Yeah, get into action once and for all. Get into action, complete this project once and for all. You know, those are places where you can feel it out.
Okay,
let's do it one more time.
So So do I hear you correctly that you're concerned about protecting your association from legal hassles and expenses?
Yeah, I'm really scared that I could get us into big financial problems.
Well, it's wise to give that thought. I know that I can help you with that. Let's get on the phone to identify the one key issue that is stopping you from moving forward. On that call, I'll give you some resources and we'll see how I can support you to get into action to complete this project once and for all.
Yeah. How did you feel with that?
Better. Better.
Okay, so I sincerely, you know, I would recommend that you and Mary get on the phone and just practice you saying it over and over and over again. It's the same thing as visualization, only you're doing it in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or grab your husband and say it with him. that's all you need to do is just practice saying it. Because it is true, isn't it?
Yes.
That if you got on the phone, you would identify the key issue and other issues, and you would share resources, and one of those resources is that they hire you.
Yes.
Okay.
So then that conversation, I run up against my own block.
Which one, the client enrollment conversation?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, I can imagine. I'm getting the picture here. So I want you to look further down on that page 6 of that handout where it says never a free coaching call.
Yep.
So what you're saying in this, you're still at the coffee urn.
Okay.
And you're making it clear to them that this isn't going to be a free coaching call. We're going to do a high level analysis. What a high level analysis means, high level meaning it's a bird's eye view. You're looking down and you're seeing she needs to get some legal facts. She needs to have things properly filed with the proper agency. And she needs to do X, Y, and Z. So when you have your conversation with her, you're going to outline that I'm going to give you a high-level analysis. This is what we would do if we were to work together. We'll go into the details of the laws. I'll give you, well, you can, I can do the filing or you can have somebody else do the filing. But in any case, what you will have is a compliant program so that you can feel freed up to publish and get yourself out there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
And another way to say it is there too. And if I can help you, we'll talk about it. And if it isn't a fit, that's okay. Let's still connect. It's free. You just want to get them on the phone. The client enrollment conversation will be another thing for you and I to talk about in a private session here.
Okay.
Does that feel more comfortable?
Yes, definitely.
What did happen with that person that you were talking to about that?
She agreed that I submit a proposal of what I can offer, the specifics I can offer, for $500.
Mm-hmm. What's for $500?
That I would review the content and identify any potential issues for their mm-hmm. further consideration.
Why is she? Why does she want you to have? I'm sorry.
That suggests
go ahead.
Next steps. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't have answered anything. I mean, I would have identified, but I would not have solved.
Right. Good. Uh huh.
A possible phase two would be for me to solve them.
So the $500 would be an evaluation analysis of where things stand for her. And then the implementation and the solving would be the next phase. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So why does she want a proposal as opposed to getting on the phone with you and you telling her?
Well, we've already been on the phone, and so that's what I told her. But I put it in writing as a,
okay.
You know, yeah.
Good. And where are things now with that?
I have not heard back from the proposal, so now I'll be calling her. I sent it again in case it got caught in cyberspace, because I've had that happen to myself as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now I'm back in town, and we'll give her a call.
Okay, does she have to confer with the department, or is she the decision maker?
Well, I'm not quite sure. She's the executive director, but she has a board.
So that's something you need to find out.
Okay.
Or else this is going to... So the way I would suggest you do that is, in your follow-up, is to say that you've been thinking about her and you're excited about what it is she wants to finally publish, and you would like to have another conversation to answer any questions. Are you guys there? Okay, something happened with the dashboard here. So that you can answer any questions, and if there's anyone else that you should speak with, we can arrange a joint conference call so that mm-hmm. the decision can be made as to when we could move forward. Not if we're going to move forward, but when we're going to move forward.
Yep.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Good. So do you have any questions that would help you to feel more confident and freed up to ask people into an enrollment conversation? Anything that you can think of?
No, this has been very helpful. And I know that we've been through this at least 100 times. But each time it gets clearer, I feel more comfortable as my hook is clearer, then
right.
the next steps are clearer.
Right, right. And also now you've got the ask, the whole ask script should be clearer, right?
Yes.
Okay. So will you and Mary practice this? Because I'm sure that Mary could use some support too. We're going to get it over to her now. But do you see the value in practicing with each other?
Yes, 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 just to be able to say the words confidently.
Yes, and also to, you know, disclose to your buddy where you still feel hung up, because there's obviously stuff there and nothing is wrong. We're not judging any of it. Depends on how much coffee I drink as to what kind of patience I have, but I understand because I've got my own, you know. My coaches, you know, they've got their own stuff that they have to work on. I'm being cute to make it a little lighter, but the truth is this is the lay of the land. We've all got our stuff. We all keep running in place at times until we have our breakthrough, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I do want you to practice this. I want you to really practice the hook statement where you are clear, and you are. You sounded great there, where you are clear about the problem that you solve and the solution, the result, the palpable result that you bring. And then you practice this asking to have a client enrollment conversation with you. Just practice those words. And of course, the more you have it ingrained in you, then when you're actually talking to somebody, you just improvise just like you wanted to. Customize it to make it your own. You would customize it to fit that particular conversation. That's common sense, right?
Right.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Barb. Yay, Barb survived. Yippee.
Yay. Yes. And thank you, Mary, for your patience.
Oh, absolutely. I learned a lot.
Yeah. Okay, Mary, honey, let's go with you. So, give us an idea of how you did with the asking and how you liked using this script that James Roche offered, if you used it. So let's hear.
So I realized that I used the message about, I talked about the message and not set the hook of to make more money. And that's probably, no, that's not probably, that is my big block. And so I'm looking back over the conversations. I had 6 discovery sessions set up, and 4 of them got canceled beforehand. It wasn't that at the time of the call I showed up and they didn't. So I'm thinking that, well, that's a lot better that the people who I had made an agreement to meet on the call with, on the phone with, were leaning into, they were serious. But the situation has been that I had, so out of the 6, I had 2 actual conversations, and 1 I converted into a sale.
Congratulations.
And the other, thank you. And the other 4, we haven't reconnected, rescheduled. So there's a dropping the ball as far as not getting things cemented afterwards that, okay, I understand life happens. However, when can we meet again?
You did not do that. Is that what you... Sorry.
So we don't have it scheduled, rescheduled.
So you did not follow up? You didn't get back in touch with them?
I have been back in touch with them. However, it hasn't been solidified as to when we are actually doing this.
Well, what has happened instead? So give me a scenario. They said, I can't make it. Did they say that they wanted to reschedule, or they just said, I can't make it?
They said that they wanted to reschedule. I reached out with, we can do it this time or this time, and I haven't. So I'm in two situations, it was 6 kids, and I reached out and offered 2 different times, and I haven't heard back. Somebody else, it was car trouble, and I reached out, and I don't have anything specific. And the other one, I reached out. She had overbooked herself, and I said, how about this time and this time? And I haven't heard back from her either. So it's...
Let's hear the 4th one. Who's the 4th one? What's the story with the 4th one?
So it's the 4th one, she was overbooked, and I got bumped.
Okay, so I heard 3. I heard 6 kids, overbooked.
Two sick kids.
Two
different people.
Okay, so this is the part where you got to get on the phone and leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, like the follow-up, let's see, did you look at the handout that I gave you that also covered the follow-up? It was part of the Suzanne Evans excerpts, that handout from our session number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the follow-up part was...
If after 4 hours they haven't returned your call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you look at any of these that had to do with your follow-up processes?
Yes.
My question was,
is it, do I alternate a phone call and an email?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I really have learned in having follow-up presented to me through the Suzanne Evans model, and Debbie Hoffman is similar, and I've studied this with a lot of different people, is you just don't give up. You just mm-hmm. keep doing it. So if after the failed appointment has come and gone, then, you know, every couple of days you can shoot off something.
Mm-hmm.
If after that there's still no response, then put it in your contact management system to contact them in a month or 3 weeks. And then you leave a message and you basically say, you know, I was thinking of you. I was looking over my notes. I took really careful notes when we were talking. And I'm just wondering if you're ready now for us to have a conversation. I'm available tomorrow at this time and that time. I'll call you somewhere in there. You want to keep it light. You don't want to lock it down with anxiety. I'll call you around those times, and hopefully we can connect. And then you do call at those times, and you leave a message, and you say, well, I guess we missed each other. I'm still thinking about the fact that you want to do this, this, and this, and that you were concerned about that, that, and that. I'll give you a call in a couple of weeks. You know, just keep doing it until, I don't know when until, to be honest with you. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
some people just keep doing it once a month. You know, once they have enough information that those people really need what they've got, it's just a matter of you not taking it personally and just assuming that they're out there, and you just mm-hmm. need to find the right time to bring them in and land them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So the key is that each time you call them, now this is important for both of you, it's important for all of us, each time you call them, you want to leave them some sort of fact or quote or client story. You want to continue to educate them along the way. So your call should not just be, hi, I'm hoping to connect with you so we can set up our appointment. Boom. You want it to be more than that. You want to call back and say, you know, I was just thinking of my client, Suzette, and how she was struggling with da-da-da-da-da. And then when we had our conversation and we worked together, she was able to do this, this, and this, and it made me think of you. So I'm calling
yes.
back to see if you're ready for us to schedule something. I'm really sorry about your kids. I know it's that time of the year. Ugh, you know. And keep it light like that. You see what I mean?
Right. That's something that I need to include.
Yeah. Barb, do you see what I'm saying to Mary about that?
Definitely. Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about your ask? Let's talk about how you're doing with asking people using James Roche's script or something like it.
So I think once I've established a key issue that they're struggling with, and I ask them, would you like to hear about how we could work together? And I present my my 2-hour and they lean into that, I depends on how well I know them. If I offer the 10-hour as well,
no, I'm not even talking. Wait. Excuse me. Let me. I think we jumped ahead a little bit too far. I am talking about you just asking them. I'm not talking about the client enrollment process itself.
Okay.
I'm just talking about what I did with Barb, where you're at the coffee urn. Yeah. So, can you tell me how you're doing with that?
I'm fairly confident in saying to people that I know that there's a way, an easy way to access the message that they are here to deliver. And I can, if they're struggling with it, I can help them with it.
Okay, so you aren't having any problems asking them into a client enrollment conversation. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Great. Okay. Have you used any part of that James Roche script at all? The reason I come back to that is because it is so tight, it prevents all of us from coaching the person right then and there, which is a problem that a lot of people face, is that they know what will help that person. Barb has this issue, and you probably might a little bit,
yes.
Mary.
Yes,
and
I do.
So that's why I keep coming back to his script. So is there anything about his script that you want to talk to me about, or do you feel like this is really not an area where you need help?
I learned a lot when you were on your coaching bar, because I want to offer value immediately. And so going back to his suggestion that you're not promising everything, just one quick breakthrough, that to keep you moving forward, to be clear and manage their expectations. That's where I need to bolster my confidence as far as not promising or not delivering a coaching session right there before we've even scheduled a discovery session.
Okay, so let's have you walk. Go ahead.
That I'm in the midst of making sure that they see value in having a discovery session with me by providing a solution.
Okay, so here's, okay, I understand, and I used to do that too. Years ago, I would do little mini readings for people right there in the middle of the lobby of wherever for the very same reason. I wanted them to get a taste of what I do, and now I don't do that anymore. What I do is I just leave it at, I see that you're having this problem. I know I can help you. Let's get on the phone, and we're going to identify the one main block that's keeping you from doing better in your business, or that's keeping you from not writing about important topics that mean a lot to you. And in that conversation, I'll share some resources. We'll see how I might be able to support you moving forward. And we're going to get you unstuck. Would you like to have a conversation with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So both of you might hold in the back of your mind and put it on, excuse me, a post-it, which is, I don't need to prove my value. I need to invite them to talk to me. if they want to know more about you, which obviously they do, unless they're jerks, you know, unless they don't have a sense of self. I don't mean jerks in that sense. I mean jerks like they're not thinking. They don't have a discerning filter is what I meant. But anybody who does have a discerning filter is going to want to know more about you, so you can give a case study at that point. You can give a testimony. You can say, in fact, your situation reminds me very much of when I worked with Mitchell. This was the mm-hmm. issue. That's what mm-hmm. I did. And I think, and you know, now he's doing this and this, and the same is possible for you. Do you want to have a conversation? So that might be, Barb, also a way that you can, you know, nurture and feed that part of you where you feel like they have to at least get some idea that you know what you're talking about. So you give them a testimony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All you want to do is get them on the phone. And when you say to them, we're going to identify the one key issue, I'll share with you some resources, which will include the possibility of us working together. And the result will be you're going to get unstuck and get back into action on this project. And in fact, what you're going through reminds me of blah, blah, blah. Would you like to have a conversation? Maybe that's a way that the two of you can feel a little more comfortable.
Would you say that again, please?
Which part? All of it? The whole thing?
No, just the last couple of things where we'll feel more comfortable.
Yeah. We'll discuss the one key issue that is holding you back, and I'll share with you some resources which will include ways that I can support you. And in fact, your situation makes me think of my client, blah, blah, blah. He had this problem. And now he's doing this as a result of working with me. Would you like to have a conversation? Can we get our schedules out and set up a conversation? See how that goes?
Yep.
Okay. Mary, does that feel better?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I really do, I'm serious when I say, you know, put a post-it out just for a couple of weeks where it just keeps going into your subconscious mind. I don't need to prove myself. I need to ask them to have a client enrollment conversation with me.
Yes.
So you're not giving them the sample that you're going to give them in the client enrollment conversation. Meaning we need to, we'll take a look at the laws that you might be violating. This is for you, Barb. We'll take a look at what steps need to take to get you compliant. And if it's a fit and you're ready to move forward, I'll share with you ways that I can absolutely help you. The fact that you know those things is the proof that you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you even know to go there is the proof that you know this territory. See what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mary, does that help?
Yes.
And I'm going to just tell you again, Mary, I keep coming back to this. It means so much to you, and I'm trying to find a way to help you here. When you use the word your story, it just doesn't say enough. But if you instead hook, or let's not use the word hook because that confuses with the other thing. If you then tie the importance of their story because it leads to their message and their message leads to money, I think you're going to land on the earth more. And be able to make your own greater sales.
Uh-huh.
So if you're talking to them about having a strategy session with you where we're going to talk about your story, that is just not compelling enough unless you say, so that your story can be converted into your message where you're going to start making more money. Your story will be converted into your message which is going to have you make more money. Your story is going to be converted into a message that is going to help you make more money. Or your story is going to be converted into a message so that you make more money. You see?
Yes.
Because if they just wanted to have their story and to have that be what is their longing, then they can go to a hypnotherapist or a psychologist or a therapy kind of person to help them value their life more. But that's not what you're doing. Your job is to help them value their life more so that they can make more money. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So who's shuffling the papers?
That's me. I'm putting this on my monitor as we speak. Story,
okay,
message,
great.
Money.
Yes. Yes. Great. All right. So do you feel that you got attention on this piece about asking people to have a client enrollment conversation, both of you, where you're not coaching them and giving away what you normally would pay for? Do you feel more solid about that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to have the two of you done your homework where you're going back to that handout that I gave you during our Jumpstart course class, which was that post-conversation review where you self-assess how you handled the client enrollment. Has anybody
Yes.
used that? Okay, great, Barb. How about you, Mary?
Yes.
Okay, and give me your experience of using that, meaning what did it do for you to use it, and how did it help you in future conversations?
Well, it helped me to know what I wished I had done, you know,
good.
Better.
Good.
And
good.
And we've talked about that here, you know, that I should have done or shouldn't have done or that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Good. And so how did that affect you in then the next client enrollment conversation or the next asking?
It made me aware, more conscious, and then our conversation here today has really built that out.
Yeah. Good. So basically what you've covered is a sensitivity that you've got to keep this kind of a roadmap in clear view so that you don't miss any things to cover. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
And so do you, roadmap that I gave you from the other client enrollment conversation trainings that we had, you know, step one, step two, step three, et cetera, have you used that? Or are you just kind of winging it?
Well, let's see here. I have reviewed it, and I haven't always had it right where I should have. And
okay, so here.
Today, I was
sorry,
looking
go ahead.
For the hints, the INTZ questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't find them because I wasn't quite sure where they were. And then I tried to just Google that, and I didn't have enough of a name to get anything but everybody named hints. So,
okay, so the rule is, the law is, because I do it too, is have that roadmap with you. Whenever I do a client enrollment conversation, I have my notes with me, and I've been doing this for years. So, you know, both of you really are doing yourself a disservice by not having that there. It believe it or not, you know, when you're in the throes of having these conversations, just looking down at that roadmap, you'll see a word or you'll see a couple of words, and that'll trigger what you need to say next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So do both of you know where to find on your hard drives my client enrollment information that you took from that class?
Well, I have here the Soul Purpose and Intuition Radiant Client Enrollment Intensive that we did in late 2016.
So the point is, just look on your hard drive, because you know the roadmap I'm talking about, right? You remember it at least? Mary?
Yes.
Okay, Barb?
I guess I'm having trouble finding the roadmap piece.
Mary, can you send her that attachment via email? Not now, but after we're finished.
Yeah, I'm making a note.
Thank you.
Okay, good. So the thing that I'm asking you both to do is to get your client enrollment protocol at hand at all times. And look it over before you have the conversation. Visualize yourself having the conversation with that person. Visualize it going smoothly. Visualize them really appreciating the time with you and visualizing them hiring you. Okay, that is all part of what it takes to make all of this become much easier and fun. Okay, does that make sense, ladies?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. You're welcome. So now we're going to move on to, anybody need a quick break before we
complete this last hour? I was just going to say, can we have a 5-minute bio break?
Yes, absolutely. I was obviously picking up on your bladder there.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so I'm gonna turn off the recording and then just come back and say you're here, and we'll pick up again.
Okay. And I'm going to change phones, so it may sound a little funny for a second.
Okay, no problem. Here we go.
Okay. You still there?
Okay, dear, what did you want to say?
What I have here is the package that has the answers to all the possible objections.
Well, there should be another handout that has the whole. There's got to be more handouts to that course. That was just a part of the handouts, right?
Okay. Yeah. This is session 4. So, all right, I'll go back.
So you have to go back to that file, and you can also, you'll get it from her as well.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you need to take a little break, or are you doing okay?
I'm okay.
Great. So, let's see. What we're going to do next is the pendulum work.
Okay, I'll get it out here.
Yeah.
And I've never used a pendulum before, as you may have guessed. And
yeah,
so
it's fun. It's easy.
Good. All right. I have it here. Pendulum handout here.
And you've got the handout that I emailed this morning, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to get started with you, Barb, and Mary will come in when she's able to. So, act timing. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the pendulum work. So let's have you pull out today's handout as well as the, let me find it, from our session number one, it was the handout and page 13. Do you all see that?
Yep.
Oh, it looks like the pages got messed up.
Yeah,
does your page...
Programming your pendulum?
Yeah, is on page 12 instead of page 13. Is that what you're seeing?
Mine's page 11.
If it's, yeah, it's 11 for me too. If it's
okay.
It starts with programming your pendulum.
Yes. So let me just look that over for a minute. I need to adjust something here. Let's see what the problem is. Just 1 second. just look over your handout from today and the one from session one and start thinking about an intention that you want to manifest, and we'll go ahead and apply this exercise to that. But just give me one moment while I fix something here. We're going to walk through the pages of the handout that I sent you using your pendulum, where you're going to learn how to just ask questions that are relevant to a particular intention, so that when you are wanting to create something and you want to be soul aligned, using your pendulum will assist you in being able to really zero in on it. So your page 11, it's your, where it says programming your pendulum should start on page 12. Is that what you all have?
Well, mine starts on 11. Creator of all beings, three times. Divine angels and archangels, three times.
And that you see, and that you see as at the bottom of page 11, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll use it for today, but I'm going to email you guys right now so that I don't, you know, so I know that it happens. The correct, I guess the formatting got skewed there. I apologize. So that you have the proper version that isn't that messy. So just give me one second here. So in the meantime, you're thinking. Just keep looking through those pages and just think, because we're going to walk through it together here. So we're not wasting time. Okay, so I'm sending it to both of you, and it just simply says replacement edition, so that you can either just toss out what you currently have, delete it from your hard drive, and print this one out, or whatever is going to work for you.
Okay.
Good. And so basically what we're having you look at now is page 12 from our session number one and today's handout that I had emailed to you this morning. We had emailed to you this morning. All righty. Now, what you're looking at here is a process where you basically clean your pendulum the way I taught you before the Jumpstart course during one of our warm-ups. Remember that?
Yes.
Will you put it in salt, right?
Okay, mine
yes.
hasn't been salt yet. It's brand new. I talked to Mary about the salt, and so I don't have the right kind of salt.
So you didn't do the warm-up exercise when I gave it to you, in other words, right?
Right. I mean, I bought the thing, and I didn't have the right kind of salt, and so I didn't do the salt.
Okay. So please do the salt. You know, just get sea salt. You can either put it in water that has sea salt in it or just a dry bed of sea salt.
Okay.
And the fact that it's brand new means nothing, because that thing has gone through tons and tons of hands and has been in lots of environments where it could absorb the energies, okay? So the fact that it's new to you, but it's not new in existence. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. So what you would do is just overnight let it soak. You could throw out the water, throw out the salt afterwards, because it's pulling out energies that are, the best way I know how to say it is, whatever negative, heavier energies that the crystal itself wants to let go of, because it is a consciousness unto itself, that it will go into that salt, and you don't want that energy in you, so you don't want to use it on your steak. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. And so this is one of the prayers from one of my teachers, and it is a beautiful prayer because it covers so many ranges of energies that we're asking to come forward and to support you in lifting your own energy, which then gets projected into the pendulum. That's why there is a prayer. Does that make sense, both of you?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. Now, the next part is the crux of the matter, is where the programming is actually taking place. The first part of calling upon the angelic kingdom, etc., is to help you be surrounded with these high, beautiful frequency divine energies. The next part, I hereby intend that this pendulum relay information from my higher self at all times, in alignment with divine truth and accuracy, that all answers received align to my highest path and purpose and the highest good of all beings everywhere. And so it is. That is the program. That is what you are imprinting, sending that intention into that crystal. It is to be a voice for your higher self talking to you, with yes, no, I don't know kinds of answers. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's all I want you to know about from that page. You can use that page still to take notes, but now we're going to hop over to the handout that I sent you this morning. So do you all have that handy?
Yes.
Okay, great. So basically, the theory that I'm working with on this for you is, you know, at any given time, we have a lot of options, a lot of decisions to make, a lot of directions that we could go in. And we have to find a way to chunk all that down so that we're not a little chicken with its head caught off running around. We want to instead have a sense of direction, which would be the intention, and look at all of the options, all the scenarios, like do a brain dump kind of thing. But then we need to start prioritizing what's most important. Should I do it today? Should I do this before I do that? And that's why I am giving you this exercise, because we all tend to get very overloaded, and we all tend to have those moments where we're not sure which is the best way to turn. And the purpose of this is to have a protocol so that when you're clear about an outcome that you want, an intention, that you know how to systematically, calmly, methodically, build yourself a roadmap of action steps to accomplish that goal. So each of you, please tell me what you just heard me say in your own words.
It's a strategy to make up your mind.
Forward.
Yeah. What was that, Barb? I heard you, Mary. Thank you. What was that, Barb?
Clarifies how to move forward.
In the most soul-aligned way. In the most effective way. So it's a combination of soul-aligned meaning. It's really coming from deep within you. It's not just off your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's effective, meaning your usage of time and money and emotion and brain power all become effectively used instead of being drained, hitting walls, bouncing off, getting frustrated, not getting rate of return on your efforts, right? You guys with me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what this protocol is for, is that when you want to accomplish something and you have a ton of directions to go in, how do you start? And this is how you start. You clarify what your intention is. You do some recon to find out the blocks that are saying, no, you can't do it, don't even bother, essentially, right, the gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
You work with those, so again, you don't just hit yourself against the wall, bounce off, and, you know, suffer and lose time, money, energy, etc. But you use a process that leaves no stone unturned, so to speak. Any questions so far? No. Good. So let's start off by you identifying the way in which your pendulum goes to get your understanding of what it means when it gives you a yes answer, what it means when it gives you a no answer, and what it means when it gives you an I don't know answer. Okay? You having fun yet?
Yeah. Sure.
Mary?
Yeah.
Mary. Okay.
Yes.
Just checking. Okay, so here's how you do it. You take the string or the chain and you hold your hand about 6 inches, 5 inches above the stone. And just dangle it. Just let it dangle. Everybody doing that so far?
Yep.
Okay. Now I would like you to softly read that prayer to yourself, or if you want to, softly out loud, so that you are programming that crystal. And you are going to clean it, Barb, and then you'll reprogram it again, but you can still do it now and be effective. So I'm going to be quiet while you both do that.
So the prayer is the one from I Hereby Intend?
Yes, but it's also calling on the others.
Oh, okay.
You're calling in those energies. Everything that's on that page that says programming your pendulum is what I'm suggesting that you use to program your pendulum. Okay, is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let me know when you both have done the full prayer, and I'll continue from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Excellent. Now, did either of you feel anything happen within you by saying that prayer to yourself? The whole thing, the whole thing.
No, because I had never done it before, so I...
It doesn't matter. I'm just asking you if you experienced it, whether you hadn't done it before or not. It actually, in this particular case, has nothing to do with it. You know, sometimes we can do something and, oh my God, I just felt that, you know. Other times it happens over time. So that's why it doesn't matter that you haven't done it before. Mary, did you notice anything?
There was this undercurrent of, oh, another layer of energy.
Yeah. So you see what I mean, Barb, is that some people
yeah.
could feel something. Okay, good. And, you know, it doesn't mean anything that you didn't. You know, don't even go any place negative. You know, it just, you know, everybody's different. Great. And it is another layer of energy. It's a huge other layer of energy. So now you have programmed it. And in theory, after you have cleaned it with salt and done your program, then you really don't have to program it again unless you want to. So, for instance, if you had a pretty heavy day for whatever reason and you were using your pendulum and you just had a feeling you wanted to clean it, then go ahead and clean it overnight again and program it again. You can't program it too much, and that's the main thing to know. Every time I pick up my pendulum, whether I've cleaned it or not, I always say my prayer because it just helps me to focus. The pendulum is probably all ready to rock and roll, but I do it for me to get it spinning around me and just focus on what I'm doing. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Great. So now that you've got it dangling about, you know, your hand is about 5 inches above the stone, somewhere in there, tell the pendulum, please show me a yes answer. Now, here's what I want you to make sure that you don't do. Do your best, because pendulums do respond to thought, and you want to keep yourself as backed off with your own how you want it to be kind of thing, and just let it talk to you itself. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're holding it and you're just curious, and just let it dangle, and you ask, please show me a yes answer. And you want to notice what happens. When you notice some movement, say ready.
Ready.
Excellent. Okay, so what direction did it go for you, Barb? Did it go clockwise? Did it go counterclockwise? Did it swing vertically from top to bottom? Did it swing horizontally from left to right? What did it do?
Horizontally left to right.
Good. So write that down where it says yes. You see on that page where it says establish and then yes? You see that line?
Yep.
Okay, great. How about you, Mary dear?
My yes is a clockwise motion.
Okay, so write down clockwise as a yes.
Okay.
My yes is actually a counterclockwise, and my no is a left to right horizontal. So everybody is different. Okay, now do the same thing for a no. So you want to Dangle it so it stops moving and it's neutral. And then you say, please give me a no answer.
Ready.
Thank you.
Ready. I'm sort of
great. So what?
Vibrating.
What, Barb?
Mine's just sort of vibrating.
Then it hasn't given you an answer yet. Let me keep holding it, Barb. Give it more time. Give it more time. It's thinking. So. I'll come right back to you, Barb, honey. Just one second. What was your no, Mary?
Back and forth, left to right.
So horizontal, left to right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Counterclockwise.
Okay, good. So what did you just learn there? What you saw was that it was hovering. It wasn't ready to give you an answer. Right? Isn't that what you saw, Barb?
Yes.
And that happens to all of us, is that when it's gathering up what movement it's going to make, it will do that shuttering in place, and then it starts to develop into a more distinctive movement. You see what I mean? Barb?
Yes.
So what was it counterclockwise? Is that what you got?
Yes.
For a no? Okay, so write that down. Isn't this fun?
Yeah, it's new.
Mary, is this fun for you so far?
So far.
Yeah, okay. Now we're going to do the I don't know. So once again, just let it dangle in a neutral position. And when you feel that it's quiet and not moving any particular way, ask, please show me an I don't know answer.
Ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Excellent. Okay, what did you get, Barb?
Seems to be going forward and back.
Okay, good. Excellent. So that's what I mean by a vertical movement, forward and back. And horizontal would be that left to right. So however you want to write it in your notes, Barb, so it makes sense to you is all really that matters. How about you, Mary, honey?
Vertical, up and down.
Just like what Barb got,
just
right?
Just like Barb's. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Great. So now you know how your pendulum is going to give you your answers, and it will always be that. Now, you can go back and check from time to time to, you know, just say, please give me a yes, please give me a no, please give me an I don't know, just to set your baseline. But my understanding is that it doesn't change, and if it does change, then you might need to clean it and then get back to your consistent established yes, no, I don't know. Okay, so now let's start using this. I'd like you to think of something that you need to do that you know you could go in a gazillion different directions and or you're really not sure what to do first and then what to do next. So think of something and let me know by saying ready.
I'm ready. Great.
Okay.
Great. So what is your intention? Write it down in, well, actually, let me hear it first in case I can help you some in some way. What is your intention, Barb, that you want to work with?
How to follow up with several populations.
What does populations mean?
Different groups I've encountered lately.
Great. So you're saying that you want to know how to follow up with them. Is that because you don't know how to follow up?
Maybe it's who to follow up with first.
Right. So the intention that you really have is you want to choose the steps to take to follow up where you're going to accomplish a certain result, a certain intention. Right? You with me?
Okay.
Now, you could just want to follow up without any particular intention. You don't want to necessarily book any strategy calls. You don't necessarily want to get in touch with people to announce a sale that you have. You just want to get it done because you know you're supposed to get it done because that's what entrepreneurs do, and you know that the money is in the follow-up. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
There are different stages of intention. So with this population that you're talking about, with all these different groups, what is the ultimate intention that you have by following up?
Establish relationships.
For what purpose?
To build community.
For what purpose?
To be able to be able to ask advice, to be top of mind kind of thing.
What kind of advice? Advice about what? Excuse me.
Possible speaking engagements.
Ah. So your community also has a subsection. What would you say that subsection is that would be an intention in your follow-up exercise or your follow-up task?
Find out what other organizations they belong to that invite speakers.
Okay, so your intention would be to follow up looking for leads for speaking engagements. Would that be what you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in truth, your intention is to find leads for speaking engagements and maybe even to get hired for a speaking engagement. So that is the intention of your following up, as opposed to you've got all these cards and you're just going to close your eyes and pick a pile and go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what did you learn from just this inquiry that we just did?
To define the intention fairly specifically.
Yes, the intention of the result that you want.
Okay.
So you can write that. Excuse me. Sorry about that, ladies. The allergens in the air. After that line where it says, what is your intention, you can put in parentheses, the result that I want. Does that help when I add that to it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mary, what's your intention?
I would like to be clear about, do I create a new summer offer for the June workshop that I'm doing in Iowa?
Okay. God, you're going to Iowa? And look what I said earlier. I said Iowa.
I knew. I know. It was.
Oh, my
alignment.
God.
You were getting a download for me.
Oh, it just never ceases to amaze me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Okay, yeah. So your intention. Thank you. I love it. Isn't it fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Your intention, let's hear it again, please.
So do I create something new as my summer offer when I'm presenting to the Writers' Workshop in Iowa?
Okay. So your question that you want to know, your intention is to identify the best offer to present in Iowa at that
mm-hmm.
conference. So that's what
yes.
you would write in your intention. The best offer, because if you just leave it at, should I use this same offer, you're going to get a yes or no answer, and then what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to think long view, that ultimately what you want is to make the most sales when you go to Iowa. So what would be the best offer for me to present that would bring me the most sales or the most money? You know, sales doesn't necessarily mean money. You could sell a ton of $97 little easy yes offers, or you could sell one big whopper 6-month mastermind. So you have to distinguish, what do you want? Do you want number of sales or do you want volume of dollars? Right, you see?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, so you both have your intentions. Now we go digging. We go to page 2, which is a brain dump. So I'm going to be quiet while you both think of all the steps that need to be taken to get you to the point where you're actually ready to take action. Because this list is going to show you all the different things that you could do and at some point should do, or maybe not do at all. You with me?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This page is your brain dump page. So why don't you both write about 4 items? You don't have to do more than that for now. Let me know when you have that.
Mm-hmm.
And just let me know when you have your four.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Now, with any of these questions or these items that you wrote down, did you ever wonder which one of these should I do first, which one should I do when, anything like that, just with regards to those four items?
It seems like they're also closely related.
Mm-hmm. That what?
That it's deciphering, if I do this, I need to know that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And a clarification about, well, I don't know this missing piece before I can make a decision about that.
Right. Good. Good. Are there any ones on there where they are so closely aligned, you don't necessarily have to do a lot of preliminary legwork, but you just don't know which one to do first?
Well, one thing that I wrote down that I don't know is it's an action in that it's a decision that I'm in a quandary about. Since I do the one-on-one work, if I'm delivering this in Iowa, I can't invite them. Well, I can invite them to work one-on-one because I do Zoom. Okay, I answered my own question.
Mm-hmm. So are there any on that list where they're so closely tied that you really don't know which one to do first? And maybe you don't. I'm just asking.
No, I don't.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, so let's go to you, Barb.
All right.
Are there any... Hang on, let me just ask the question. Are there any on there where you're really not sure when to do them, if you should do them, what order to do them, that sort of thing?
Well, yes or no. Yes and no. I said that I should... sort through the business cards I have to identify those who are affiliated with an organization that invites speakers or might invite speakers. And then
right.
of those which are likely to pay speakers, what to say to them and what to offer to speak about.
Oh, I don't understand. Are those separate items? Are you listing the... So can I hear them again, please?
Taking the business cards that I have gathered in the last week, sort
mm-hmm.
through them to identify who is likely, who is affiliated with an organization that invites speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, which ones are likely?
Well, now, wait a second. On that one, so that means that you would be making calls to find out which ones would pay speakers. Is that what that action step would be?
Well,
you see,
would
let,
I,
let me,
would
let
I
me, let me just interrupt you for a second so I can be more, I can be clearer for you. You're going to be asking questions that have either a yes, no, or I don't know answer. So when you make your list, just keep that in mind. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay, great. So how would you like to put that?
Would the process be that I would take a business card and
yes,
say,
yes, it would, exactly.
Is this person affiliated with organizations that invite speakers? Yes, no, or I don't know.
Yes, you could do that if you wanted to.
And then the pile that says, yes, they invite speakers, then ask, do they pay their speakers?
Right. Good. So you get the idea. Let's keep going. You definitely, definitely get the gist. Excellent.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going to go to the next question. After you've made this list, now we're going to look for what little gremlins might be lurking around that would either have you procrastinate, not do this at all, or suffer through it. You know, for whatever reason, it'd just be like pulling teeth to do this project. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you both have your intention, and you also have a number of action steps, and when we finish this class, you'll be able to do more. Let's have you do on page 3, that first question, do I have any blocks that will stop me or slow me down from accomplishing my intention? So both of you do that and let me know when you get an answer. You see where I am?
Yes, and yeah. You use the pendulum to ask that.
Yes, that's why we're doing this. This is a pendulum template,
okay.
Yes. Great.
So,
now you could also, hang on one second. However, I am teaching you a third tool for you to get your yes-no answers. You already have the body leaning exercise. Yes is front, back. You also have the rose exercise, yes-no.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have this as a third one. Okay. So go ahead and do that and let me know when you get your answers. How you doing?
Okay, I have two big blocks.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. No, that's not what I asked. All you're doing for number one on that page is, do I have any blocks?
Yes.
So you got a yes?
I got a yes.
Great. How about you, Barb? Did you get a yes or a no to that question?
Well, I got a no, and I didn't believe it. So I'm retesting.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you. Don't retest. So this brings up a very good point. When you're using the pendulum, do not doubt the pendulum. It is giving you an answer. It is not for you. That's the whole point of this going into a deep place that your mind is hands off. You know, Your ego and your mind are not allowed to that party. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get an answer, accept it. Do not challenge it, because what's going to happen is your mind will direct the energy so that it gives you a no.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really glad you brought that up. So if you got a no, that's probably it. You don't have any blocks going through piles of things and figuring out which one to do when and so on. You might start having blocks when somebody asks you, well, how many years experience do you have public speaking? Yes, we do hire, but I don't know if we're going to hire you. You know, yeah, you might have a few blocks come up about that. You see what I mean?
Hmm.
But at this stage, no, you don't have any blocks, right? Makes sense?
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you had a yes, like Mary just did, then there's this whole system. You said you have two blocks. How do you know you have two blocks? How did you get that information?
Well, I went to the next level of asking, what is my block about being seen?
Great, excellent. So what she did was absolutely right. So next, number two is, if yes, then you want to work with your knowing of yourself as you do, also working with your guides and your soul, and come up on page 4, make a list of what those blocks are. You with me? Which is, I guess, what you did, right, Mary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Then you go back to your tools that I listed here. Look at all the tools you guys have to mm-hmm. transform energy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you work on each block. You take each one. Now, you may not have to do all of this in one sitting. You know, if you feel like you're eased up enough to go ahead and start taking action, then do that. But you at least know that you've got some areas that need some loving attention and some healing. And then maybe at a different sitting, you'll go ahead and do that. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So,
Barb?
You would want to go to number 3, am I ready to heal any of these, but perhaps not do the healing steps right in the same seating.
You could do that, absolutely. You're looking at putting together a list of what you have a sense are your blocks, and then you go to step number 3 to determine whether or not you're ready to do that. And what you would do is you would go down that list and ask, am I ready to heal this block? Am I ready to heal this block? Am I ready to heal this block? I didn't put that in here because there are so many ways I could have formatted it. But what you could do is just in that bullet list there that is at the beginning of page 4, you go over each one with your pendulum and ask that question. So number 3, am I ready to heal any of these blocks? You get an overall yes. So at that point, you go back and you go one at a time and you get your yes-no answer. You could be dealing with something that is so premature for you to take on at this time, where if you were to ask that question, am I ready to heal any of these blocks, and you get a blanket no, in which case you know to hold off on this whole project and do something else. You see what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mary?
Yes.
Okay. So number four is self-explanatory. If no, then continue with your pendulum. If yes, go down the list. Using your clearing and healing tools to dissolve and remove each block and then replace it with a desired one. And you know how to do this. I'm just going to go through this because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
But you know how to do this because we've done these things a million times before, right? Where you use those tools and you replace it with the feeling, the emotion, a picture, an internal dialogue. And when you and I encourage the two of you to, you know, continue with your buddy relationship on this material, at least to meet one more time and go through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put in the replacement. Does anybody have any question about what I wrote in the replacement section? Because we have done these before. But take a moment and look it over and see if you have any questions.
No question.
No.
Thank you. How about you, Barb?
No. No.
Okay. And then as you can see, that page 6 and 7 is where you can break down what the block is and put in the replacement. And you can describe the replacement in terms of what do you feel, what do you see, what do you want to hear. And that's all on the assumption that it is going to be receptive to being healed. If you get a no on that block, then you do not fill this little template part out. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then after you put in the replacement, then you double check. Is it cleared now? If the answer is no, then you have to go back to work. You have to work with your guides and your angels and your soul. You have to keep asking more questions so you can find out what the holdup is. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
now, once
yes,
you
no question.
Well, what else would you do?
I don't know.
So why? So yeah. So yes, because this tool, this particular tool, can only work with yes, no, and I don't know. If you want other kinds of questions, then you'd use other kinds of tools. You see what I mean?
Okay.
Okay. So, any questions about that so far before we go to number 6?
No.
No.
Great. Okay, number 6 is now we get into the action. We've cleared the field. Now we're ready to go. And this is also self-explanatory. You know, basically what you're doing here is you want to find out, where do I begin? What's the top most effective step for me to take? And then what's the next step for me to take? Is that clear to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the truth is that some of these things won't make any sense until you actually get started. Where you ask a question, would this be the best first step for me to take? Yes or no. If you get a no, then you have to look at your other list items and go over, is this the best first step for me to take? Is this the best first step for me to take? See what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just let it flow, because you'll know how to navigate this. The intention is you've got this handful of actions. You need to find out, are there any that you should not do at all? You need to find out which ones are going to give you the best result for your efforts in terms of when to do it. And you also want to find out if some of those action steps really need to be done way in the future. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the exercise. So When I work with you privately in our private sessions, I will work with you on the whole numbers thing because we need to stop now, and that's fine. There's enough information on those handouts where you can start playing around to find out your own numbers. But mm-hmm. when you and I get together, we'll work on exactly what money you want to earn each month, what packages do you want to focus on, how many clients do you need at that price point, how many clients do you have now, how when you have X number of sales calls, how many of those buy, and what is your percentage? And that helps you know how many people you need to ask to have a strategy session, just to ask them. And then once you have the strategy session with them, how many of those do you need to sell in order to reach your goal? And then how many of those sales calls do you then have to make so that you can get that number of yeses? You see how the whole thing basically lays out and fits together, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we are going to stop here, and let's conclude with, oh, my God, Sasha.
I'm deep saturated breath. With Sasha sayings.
Yeah. So let's conclude with what were the highlights of today's content that really made the biggest differences for you.
Story, message, money.
Yeah.
Those are my anchors. Those are my
yes,
anchors.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Anything else that you gained from today? Good. That's good. Top of mind. Keep it. Dream it. Eat it.
Yes.
Sleep it.
Yes. It's in front of me at all times. And yeah. the refinement of the pendulum and being able to always have that resource and just that information. It's brilliant.
What is brilliant? I missed some of that, I think.
The pendulum, having that as a resource and always having that at my fingertips to
yeah.
help me find clarity.
Great. You like that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Wonderful. And so how do you feel, other than saturated, how do you feel at the end of our time together today?
Exhilarated. I have all of these connections or follow-up calls to be making and emails to be sending. And so I have renewed clarity about what it is I'm offering them, and that this is my sole purpose path.
Yes. Wonderful. Love it. Thank you.
Thank
How
you.
About you, Miss Barb? Miss Barb.
Certainly the working through the invitation to a call and getting that script down was very important, very
Good.
Helpful, and how to rehearse it. And yes, the learning about the role of the pendulum, the possibilities, and whatnot. How would you differentiate the pendulum from the muscle testing?
There really is no differentiation. It's really just what you like to do, what's easiest for you to do. It's
mm-hmm.
really that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what other highlights for you, Barb, honey?
Well, being able to be a fly on the wall while you're working with Mary always teaches me some things.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to do this as a group of three is
yes.
very essential.
Yes, wonderful. Okay, and how do you feel at the end of this?
Encouraged, more confident.
Yay!
And I have my shopping list to get my salt.
Yes, okay. All right, ladies, I love you, and I actually have something to tell you that has nothing to do with this course, but it'll give you an example of what happens when you stretch yourself and you stick to your passions and your sense of purpose. But I know that we're at the hour. If any of you want to stay on, and I'll tell you a quick story of something that happened to me, you're more than welcome. I'll tell you. If not, then we will meet in our private session. So does anybody want to stay?
I have a
I'm sorry, I have to jump off. I
okay.
will listen. I will look forward to hearing it at another time. Thanks, Mark. Okay, honey. You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day. Enjoy all
Thanks,
the new
Mary.
Tools.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Okay, Barb, hang on 1 second.